Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
The ground-on-ground operations. What is happening in Gaza? Well, Lieutenant Colonel Maurice Hirsch from the Jerusalem Center for Security and Foreign Affairs, former director of the military prosecution for Judea and Samaria, joins us this morning. A very good morning. Thank you for doing so. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. How are you doing? Thank God, we're enjoying the rain in Israel.
That is awesome. When does the rain season end? I thought it was more or less over by now.
So it really is almost over. It goes on sometimes sporadically until the end of April,
right?
I would say, and then after that, it's blue skies and sunny and every day for the next 6 months.
Right.
Really a fabulous place.
Absolutely. Tell us what is happening on the ground in Gaza. We saw it starting with this offensive, or this time around, starting with aerial attacks on certain targets. We now seem to be seeing much more on ground operations. Give us your sense.
So we have to just put this in context for a second. I apologize if your listeners already know what I'm about to say, but it needs the context, which is so missing in really of this whole discussion. After a very long war, Israel agreed to come to a ceasefire with Hamas in return for the release of hostages. We secured the release of 33 hostages in the return for releasing almost 2,000 terrorists, including mass murderers. The genocidal terrorists in Gaza were given the opportunity to extend the ceasefire in return for the release of some of the remaining 59 hostages, and instead they chose not to. And so what everyone had promised was going to happen actually then happened, that Israel would return to fighting both from the air, on the ground, going back into Gaza in order to secure the release of the hostages. The ceasefire was almost an optical illusion for a while, thinking that maybe something else could happen. But nothing moved forward, and Israel is committed to releasing the hostages. So we have no choice but to go back and fight.
And in fact, the ceasefire was an opportunity for Hamas not to release the hostages, but to regroup and decide on their next steps without Israel being all around them.
Well, so yes, so Hamas only used this period to regroup, to send back the Gazans to the northern Gaza Strip, to recruit more terrorists, to use more of the humanitarian aid. In every week of the humanitarian aid, Howard, there was something like 4,200 truckloads of aid going into Gaza. That aid was being taken by Hamas, sold off by Hamas. They were able to get rich, to carry on paying the salaries to all of their terrorist employees. And that's really what maintained their ability to continue the control over the Gaza Strip. That was just one of these strategic mistakes that we made along the way. But now it's time to really change that whole trajectory. That's why we stopped with the entrance of the humanitarian aid. Gaza is really flooded with both food and the foodstuff that they need. And really now we have to adopt a different approach, which I think we're seeing on the ground, of really getting to the point where we get rid of Hamas finally and bring about the release of the hostages.
There seems to be a lot less of an apologetic stance. And the reason I say from Israel, and the reason I say that is we've seen all of these figures coming out of Gaza. And yes, of course, we know that it's from the Gaza Health Ministry, which is Hamas run. They don't differentiate between civilians and terrorists. We know that they lie. But they've done that all the time. Somehow, Israel always gave an explanation. This is what's happened there. No, this is the real story. We're being told of significant casualties, true or untrue, and yet we haven't seen much of a defense or an attempted defense from Israel around this. Is it my own observation, or is this something that is a deliberate decision?
So I think there has been widespread, unfortunately, condemnation of the return to fighting. The world doesn't really care about the fact that these terrorists are continuing to hold our hostages. But, and the but is quite big, I think it would have been very, very problematic for people to really criticize what was going on in Gaza at the same time as the US was striking using the same theories, the same ideas in Yemen. In the same way as Israel had argued all the time that we could target terrorists in their home even when they sleep, even if that does cause incidental damage, that's exactly what the US did in Yemen. Mm. They bombed the residential areas of the Houthi leaders. And so when you say that you're now criticizing Israel, I think you would be very, very hard pressed to say, well, I'm criticizing Israel for acting one way, but I'm not criticizing the US for acting in exactly the same way against the same terrorists. So I think really that, and that's really an article I published for the Jerusalem Center just a few days ago, that the attack in Yemen doesn't only give us the ability to push back on the Houthis' kinetic aggression, but also it's a legal blanket for Israel, both in the Hasbara world, in the public diplomacy world, and that's something which I think more countries are coming with the leadership of the United States to realize, well, this is just how you fight terrorism. And so that's why we're seeing, I believe, the change.
And of course, the fact that it was made very, very clear at the beginning of this particular operation that Israel had the unequivocal support of the United States. I think that also puts a very, very different gloss to it compared to what happened under the Biden administration.
Yeah, without question. Unfortunately, at every step of the way, the Biden administration, both publicly and so it appears also privately, was really putting obstacles in Israel's way, preventing us, if you remember, just a year ago, from going into Rafah, saying, well, you'll never be able to clear out the population. It won't work. And obviously, we did. It did work. And so... all of these limitations that they placed on us with armaments, what's now been discovered that they, whilst ostensibly only supporting us, they were also providing $2 billion worth of aid to the Palestinians and via them to Hamas. So we know that they weren't exactly working in our best interest. Whereas now you have President Trump who bangs on the table and says, well, you know what, you've got until Shabbat at 12 o'clock in the afternoon to release all of the hostages. And if not, all hell will break loose. It's not just a change in the music. It's a change in attitude. It's a change in the support. It's a change in the legitimacy for then going and attacking the terrorists in order to achieve the goals of the war. So I think that really is a substantial a difference that's coming along, and that support obviously gives everyone tremendous I think not only the support that they needed to militarily go and fight, but also in the international arenas and certainly in the UN Security Council, where you now have a different tone being led by the US representation. So everything there on that side has changed.
That is where we leave it. Thank you, as always. Great to chat to you. Wishing you a Shabbat Shalom. Lieutenant Colonel Morris Hirsch. He's from the Jerusalem Center for Security and Foreign Affairs, former director of the Military Prosecution for Judea and Samaria.